In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Most dear faithful, intrepid souls that you are, we hear today, Laetare, Laetare, Jerusalem, rejoice, rejoice, O Jerusalem. These are the first words of the introit proclaimed this morning. And my question to you is not so much if you heard them, but rather, how did you perceive those words? Because they can seem very much like a routine tagline for the fourth Sunday of Lent, one that we're used to hearing year after year, Lent after Lent. But these words, as you might suspect, might proclaim something far greater than the text itself, and something more than just a superficial, sentimental wish for happiness, but rather an imperative, an exhortation to seek and find real joy. That latter option is probably most consistent with us, I pray, us who desire to be first-person Christians, fully engaged in our faith, who desire to be in a constant pursuit of a deep and personal relationship with the Word of God. True joy in life is to be found, or more likely is only to be found, on this journey, the journey that we are all on and that we share. And we speak often, and we speak knowingly about intimacy. Intimacy in our relationship with Jesus. But how often do we ask ourselves the question, how do I really, truly know him? How do I know with the deepest understanding of knowing? How do I know my Lord? I think we will know him best when we seek to know him in the same way that he revealed himself to his original disciples. The more we choose to walk with him in the first person, whether it's in Holy Scripture, in our beautiful sacraments, in adoration of the Blessed Sacrament, the more that he will reveal the truth of himself to us, the more he will manifest himself as fully God and yet wholly enfleshed as a man as well. And on an intellectual level, we already know very much about Jesus. We have much that we know in our head. And we've heard many things that tell us repeatedly over and over again who he is. John 1:1, for example, that we hear as the beginning of the last gospel after every Mass. In principio erat verbum, et verbum erat apud Deum, et Deus erat verbum. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We know from the text of Holy Scripture that Jesus is the Word of God, the Word made flesh. We know from our years of catechism that Jesus is the Christ, the one anticipated in the Old Testament, the one dwelling among us in the New Testament. This is all good knowledge, very good knowledge. But it often tends toward being somewhat dispassionate, somewhat more just like head knowledge. And just as an example, let's imagine that I ask any one of you a question this morning. And I would say, could you tell me something about your wife, something about your husband, something about your children, something about someone close to you? And then would you respond to me by firstly giving me information about their height and their weight? Of course not. You would say something that you truly know this person, and you would share that knowledge. And yet the same question posed to us, tell me about Jesus. Tell me about Jesus in your life. Sometimes that elicits a similar sort of data-driven, historical type of response from us. When in contrast, Jesus desires a true heart-to-heart relationship with us. just as he sought to have with his closest disciples. He desires cor ad cor loquitur. Heart speaks to heart. That's what he really wants. But this degree of intimacy may seem foreign, if not completely impossible for some. But the precedent has already been set for us. Saint Therese of Lisieux, for example, knew intimately well to whom she had given her heart. This is her quote. She says, "I think that the heart of my spouse is mine alone, just as mine is his alone. And I speak to him then in the solitude of this delightful heart to heart." Intimacy like that, please God, is not limited to a few fortunate saints. We are all invited to experience the joy of union with God. Divinity informing and inspiring the flesh of humanity to reach for the perfection of God. "And I live, now not I, but Christ lives in me." We know this, Galatians 2:20. Jesus manifests himself in himself, the gracious communion of divinity, the communion of divinity hidden within humanity. We've heard this. We've seen this. Remember second week of Lent and Matthew's account of the transfiguration of the Lord. St. Francis de Sales recognized that there was a miraculous lifting, even for a precious moment, of that fleshly veil. That fleshly veil that God the Father allowed to cover the glorious divinity of his only begotten Son. St. Thomas Aquinas taught us that same time, Christ wished to be transfigured in order to show men his glory and to arouse men to a desire of it, which in other words, that we desire the glory of God to indwell us and inspire our natural flesh, to inspire us, our natural flesh, to act with supernatural goodness. The miracle of the loaves and fishes, like all the miracles of Jesus, this particular miracle is not meant to be a singular demonstration of glory or power, but it is meant to be a manifestation of the heights of virtue that the human will can achieve in cooperation with the divine will. Blessed Columba Marmion extols the potential for this joy when divine will is allowed to stir human will into virtuous action. "Nothing indeed so much attracts our poor hearts as to contemplate Christ Jesus, true God as well as true man, translating eternal goodness into human deeds," says Blessed Columba. "When we see him lavishly spreading around him inexhaustible treasures of compassion, inexhaustible riches of mercy, we can conceive somewhat of the infinity of this ocean of divine goodness from whence the Sacred Heart draws these treasures for us." Therefore, the human will dares not attempt unity with the divine in any way other than in the imitation of Christ. This is from St. Francis de Sales in the Treatise on the Love of God. And he speaks to his friend Theotimus, and he says, "Let your will, Theotimus, die in the hands of God's will in imitation of its own beloved Jesus. Then whoever has Jesus in his heart will soon have him in all of his outward behavior. In Jesus, the human is divinized and God is humanized, so that God without ceasing to be God is human, and humans without ceasing to be human are like God." St. Francis extols this as the divine life residing in the hidden life of us, of ourselves. And from this he coined the motto that he equally recommends to us. Vive Jésus, live Jesus. From his introduction to the devout life, he says, "I have wished above all else to engrave and inscribe on your heart this holy and sacred motto, live Jesus. I am certain that your life, which comes from the heart, just as the almond tree comes from its seed, will thereafter produce all its actions, which are its fruits, inscribed and engraved with the sacred word of salvation. As our beloved Jesus lives in your heart, so too will he live in all your conduct. And he will be revealed by your eyes, your mouth, your hands, and yes, even the hairs on your head. With St. Paul, you can say these words, "It is no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me," concludes St. Francis de Sales. And then we gathered here, even the few of us that are here, can still fully benefit because we can add with a full and committed voice, "Laetare, rejoice, for we have indeed found, definitively found, the source of our joy." In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, amen.